Stick with draws?
Yeah, it's stick with draws.
I agree. There's two votes. Jars?
I want a shootout.
2-1.
I'm going shootout.
2-2.
I don't know what I want.
It's a draw.
It's a draw.
This is The Bump, the one podcast SA footy fans need to hear, where the biggest names tackle the biggest South Australian footy stories. Roo, Limo, Dits, Bernie, Jars, Triple M's The Bump.
The Motley crew are back together because we want to talk about the Crows, who were woeful last weekend. Port Adelaide won against the odds. They bounced back. Simon Goodwin wants the draw abolished. He wants a World Cup soccer sort of shootout.
Like it.
And the other thing is that we are not happy with the AFL. Bernie, I'm going to go straight to you. What? Why aren't we happy with the AFL today here in South Australia?
Well, they've got two different standards.
Correct.
When Melbourne weren't, well, the teams in Melbourne weren't allowed to train, neither was the rest of the competition. Then all of a sudden, well, Adelaide and Port Adelaide can't train at the moment, and the Melbourne clubs are just continuing as per normal.
Exactly.
So I just think it's a double standard, and it needs to be addressed.
Ridiculous.
Is Bernie Vince the new John Laws of Triple M? He's got his own headphones. Have a look at this. He's gone professional.
Comment on what I just said. Don't worry about my bloody headphones.
Headphones work in this bloody job.
That's because you drop them and show disrespect to the furniture.
Hey.
And Roo, just so you know, his gold microphone's been shined in the next room.
It's getting polished.
It'll be in a sec.
What have you got, special ears, have you?
I just like the noise cancelling, because when Jars is just trying to say something in my ear, I can't hear him.
Well,
you're looking at me like you want me to say something about you. Nice kit too today. The first time you've had worn the same thing ever.
What's so special about these headphones?
Well, they're noise cancelling.
Wouldn't you want noise coming into them?
Hello, Roo. You there?
Focus on the AFL. Now, Bern, I just want to elaborate on what you said.
Yes.
What about last year when the reserves teams in Melbourne weren't able to play? So they said in Adelaide, Port and the Crows reserves team can't play.
Ridiculous.
How
doubles.
On earth then? Like you just said. So we're not allowed to train here this week. What do you know? The rest of the comp.
Are the Melbourne teams, most of them are in Melbourne at the moment, aren't they?
A lot of them, yeah.
But Melbourne's in full lockdown.
Yeah.
But that doesn't add up.
No, I know it doesn't add up. That's why we're addressing it. But they're training because we saw
not,
a vision of
but
it.
But they're
yesterday.
Not AFL rules, are they? They're state rules.
It's a Stephen Hawking rule.
He's gone. He's coming back early.
The Crows and Port will be able to train tomorrow, surely.
Well, you'd think so.
But it's a state government you've got the issue with, though, isn't it? Not the AFL.
It is. But then what happened was, because there was a rule from the state government in Melbourne last year, the AFL said, well, this is the AFL rule.
Yep.
So we're not going to let anyone else train or do contact training, all that sort of stuff that happened last year.
But what it would require is for the AFL to overrule the state government here and say allow them to train, or they go in there.
Well, if they can't train, they're not going to play.
They might have to.
Here's a scoop.
I'll give you a million to one.
Okay.
Well, you can have as much
dollar.
Money.
That's worth a dollar.
If you can't train all week, how are they going to AFL going to say, oh, no, but you still got to play?
Hang on. But the Crows have been training, and look at how they've been playing. So it might work for them.
Actually.
They are playing
Hawthorn, though.
They shouldn't train either. Is this the Jason Horn Cup?
It's the Jason Horn Cup. If we beat you this weekend, I'll be furious, by the way. We run the risk of finishing 15th. Mm. And do you know how hard it is to tank? We're missing bloody 9 players and we drew with the top team. It's a nightmare.
Melbourne always lose to the bottom side.
The supporters of a certain football club are promoting tanking. Supporters like you should be fine.
You're a disgrace.
You are.
The very fabric of this game.
Jazz is ruining the Adelaide board catching up with Alistair Clarkson while he's in town?
Next Tuesday, there'll be an announcement to say that the Adelaide Crows have signed Alistair Clarkson to a 5-year deal, 1.4 a year.
Well, what about Clarko? Him and Mitchell apparently had to have mediation. You gave nothing last week.
What?
You withheld information.
Gave zero.
Tell the truth to the Bump listeners.
There was a mediation session held at the Hawthorn Football Club involving Sam Mitchell, Alistair Clarkson, the head of footy, Rob McCartney, I understand was there, and leading team's boss, Ray McLean. Now, the club has said to me today that it is not really fair to call it a mediation session, that Ray McLean is a consultant to the football
club.
You
think they brought a broker in to get them on the same page and it didn't go well?
Depending on who you talk to, there are several versions of why this meeting was held. There is a version which says that there was concern that Alistair had gone into his shell to a degree, was not coping with the announcement and was not necessarily happy about working with Sam. There's another version which says that they just needed to sort things out and that perhaps Sam wasn't particularly happy. Anyway, I'm told that during that meeting it became clear that Sam Mitchell would rather have clean air to have a fresh start next year without Alistair Clarkson by his side.
Seriously, Caro's hardly an expert on this topic. This year, and I'm not even making this up, Caro has had Alistair Clarkson coaching the Gold Coast Suns, GWS, Carlton, Collingwood, and I think there's actually one other team.
Adelaide.
She's... no, that's Jars.
sorry.
That's Jars. So it's not like she's properly got a finger on the pulse when it comes to Clarko. As far as her trying to make turn this into a mediation issue between the two, they've had a head-butting relationship for 20 years, these two. Mm. It's not like their relationship now is any different to how it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or 15 years ago.
I would ask then, who's the genius at Hawthorn that thought it would be a good idea to have them both work together but remove Clarko from the coaching?
Jeff Kennett.
Head-butting but constructive relationship.
Oh, no. Isn't Sam Mitchell the most unpopular person in Hawthorn?
He is, but he...
Oh, let's make him coach then.
Let's give him his job.
No, he is. He's a bloke who never had a lot of mates in the football club, and he openly acknowledges that himself, as does do his old teammates. But he's a bloke who's always had plenty of respect on his knowledge and his attitude to footy.
Who tipped off Caro?
Yeah, how does that get out?
What do you mean?
She gets
information from everywhere.
So someone at Hawthorn's tipped her off about this mediation.
She goes sniffing and she gets the results. She gets information from the AFL before the clubs know that they're about to talk about it.
Well, that's... Ray McLean. I heard his name mentioned. I was out the front with him a few times, Roo.
Yes, feedback for Bernie there today, guys. line up.
Then he'd come back 2 weeks later and just a complete random apparently picked, and I'd be picked again to go out the front.
Yeah, who wants to go first? Should we start with Bernie?
You want to go?
Bernie?
Again? I thought this was random.
So, hey, how tough was that in leading teams, when you were getting that honest feedback from your teammates, did you feel as though that was constructive? Did it work?
No, I'd just shit myself and try and get out of it as quick as I could, really, or just try and get through unscathed, which I was scared.
Was it confronting, though?
It was, because you had to leave the room. And they're in small groups and they talk about you, the way to describe you. And
what are some of the things they said about you that you didn't like?
Grow up. basically, most of it.
Didn't say what your wife say this week. We're talking about leading teams.
Not bad for you, Dits. I've actually got an old feedback sheet. Just the ways to describe me was immature and class clown. That
did you
of
need
stuff.
It?
Probably, yeah. You sat me down right in a room one day.
We're getting a bit off topic here, but doesn't a change room need that as well, though?
No, that's exactly why you do it.
But if he's a class clown and need it, then you need, I reckon you need that in a change room.
You need to have fun. That's what I thought.
You need to do both. You need to train hard, play hard, be disciplined, and have fun.
I never spoke back in those. I was just like, yep.
But after you had that information, you won 2 best and fairest, didn't you?
Well, yeah, because it was after that.
Yeah, because you probably realise I better pull my finger out my back so I get the most out of my ability.
What'd they say about you?
Stop organising every function around gambling.
Shit.
Stop having it at the Alma.
Oh, my God.
Stop making money out of the football club.
Hey, Brew. Is this a true story? This is one I've heard around the tracks. We've got to move ourselves to Ireland.
Yes.
Right? Australian teams in Ireland. And one of the leaders on the trip, one of the players who was a leader.
From Australia.
Said to the playing group, we've got a game in a couple of days. Take it easy. Go to bed early. No drinking. Yeah. And then the story I heard is that after they finished that little speech, one Mark Ricciuto stood up like a real leader and said, you could do that or you could come out in the piss with me. Is that a true story?
Well, similar. It's meant to be a footy trip and playing footy. Like, it's meant to be a reward. So everyone's just had a hard year. You know what it's like? You play your backside off all year and then you go to Ireland. You expect to have some fun. So I think that we had a rule. We had to be home by a certain time. We got home by the certain time, but we'd had about 18 or 19 beers. It was me, Brett Ratton, Goody, McLeod, and a couple of others. But
Stiffy, was he on that trip?
Stiffy
didn't. He was on the trip serious, when Brendan Favola got in the punch up.
How serious those trips were, Liam. One of the very, very first trips, they made curls. Our very own Neil Kilty, coach.
Yeah.
And the SA boys like Linda and Abernathy told me that they took them to a park and said, right, we're going to have a training session here. Kick. They looked over. Curls was laying down asleep on the park bench. There's no bullshit. And he said, just go and kick the ball around. That was in 87, Ditch. I was on that trip.
He was there.
It was one of the greatest trips of all time. And he was amazing, Curls.
Yeah,
and it's true.
Was that with Paul Roos
That was
well?
Before our first test.
That was Paul Roos?
Yeah, I was.
He told me a few stories about that.
Because there was a nightclub underneath us. So there was curfew.
Curls was in the night.
We actually trained super hard. We had Lee Matthews. We trained flat out. I'm serious. Trained super hard during the day, played up super hard at night.
Yep.
Nigel Smart didn't even play the second game. He broke his body shut down. That was a footy trip plus super hard training during the day. It was unbelievable. Soon as they started to try and make it more serious, no one wanted to play.
I know you like a bit of culture.
Yes.
And so one morning, I actually asked Roo a couple of serious questions on our breakfast show on Triple M about Ireland. I thought, I'll learn a bit. So you went to Ireland. You've been overseas. Yeah, I went to Ireland on a footy trip. Tell me. They had sandwiches. This is no bullshit. This is the only thing. I said, what? He said, yeah, in the hotel we stayed in. You wouldn't believe it. These really nice sandwiches.
Club sandwiches.
That was the full extent of his cultural experience in Ireland with the Sangers.
What tours did you go on? Oh, we went to the nightclub that was underneath our hotel a couple of times.
Oh, we did go to a few nightclubs. We got given $1,000 on that trip for spending money. Just about everyone had spent that after 3 days, except for Acker. Acker was taking sandwiches and everything else you got from the buffet up to his room for other feeds. Oh. And then whenever you're having a round, and we had a fair few rounds, Acker just, he goes, I don't know what it is about this. Every time I go to buy a beer, just someone else seems to buy them.
He did the Tim Vince. Timmy Vince.
He's a rank amateur, though. I actually toured with a bloke who used to wear one of those great coats. And he would come down to breakfast every morning with the biggest pockets in this biggest coat you've ever seen. Yeah. He filled the pockets with yogurts. Oh. He would make little sandwiches and put them in pockets. Mm. And you're right, go back up to his room. That was breakfast, lunch, dinner. This bloke never spent a cent.
I didn't know Jars went with you on that trip.
Anyway, can we talk about the Crows last weekend?
No!
That was diabolical.
Oh, yeah, not good.
Can we kick it off with this? I've got, Nixie was not happy post-match, of course, but is this one of the most brutal assessments of your playing group you've ever heard?
The parts that take no talent, we didn't get those right tonight. You don't need talent. You don't need to be drafted in the AFL draft or an AFL system and be that elite footballer and ball user to stand in a spot where your teammates need
you. You guys are worse than no talent.
None of you have got talent. You can't even follow rules. That's what he was referring to about being in the right place at the right time in your structures.
Jazz, you said you were strong on Adelaide yesterday.
I just said, look, I think Nixie needs to just go and play everyone on the list now for the next 5 weeks and just see what he's got moving forward.
You said Strawn, Mackesy.
Yeah, play them all
you
now.
You want to play them all.
Put Slaney away, get him ready for next year. Don't play Mackay, don't play Lynch. Anyone that's over 30, don't play him at Bartex and just play the rest of them because he's got to find out what he's got to move forward.
Has he got a point, Roo?
No, I wouldn't be doing that. I don't think you need to do that. But
why not? Because you're getting the same old each week.
Yeah, well, you can turn it around from a week to week. The first half was okay. Second half was shocking. They just need to get back to where they were playing. It was only 3 weeks ago they were playing good footy, so there's no reason they can't do that. Look, last week we were talking, Ditz was ready to sack everyone at Port Adelaide, and then this week they have a great win. You can turn it around really quickly.
That was a good effort.
We'll get to that.
You can turn it around really quickly.
Okay. Anyway. Roo, I asked you earlier in the week about Fogarty. There's no doubt he can really, really play, can't he?
I think he's got the ability to be an AFL footballer. He just has to continue to improve. He's not a high possession getter at the moment. If he happens to get another half a dozen touches in the game, then he's going to be a good footballer.
Does he not work hard enough?
Look, he's got one of those big rigs, all right? Mm. I think he had a really good off-season last year. He has to find a way to get 20 or 30% fitter and then get to 20 or 30% more contests and get another half a dozen touches a game. And I reckon he's doing his role then. He's 6'4". He's got to be able to bring the ball to the ground. And that's part his fault, part the way the team's playing when they're getting outnumbered in the back line and not bringing it to ground. You just got to bring it to ground so the small forwards. You can't have intercept marks so they can just fling it out the other side, go straight down the other end, puts huge amount of pressure on your own defence. So get fitter, get to more contests, win a bit more ball, and then we know that he's probably got the best set shot out of anyone in the whole competition.
He has. But can I just, I don't want to be harsh here, but you said he's got to find a way to get 30% fitter. That's not rocket science. That's bloody work. That's work.
I know that.
In the off-season, train.
I know that.
Hang on, then. Therefore, it's not just him. Who at the club isn't training him the right way?
He got leaner this year, didn't he?
And I think he needs to go again.
Go again.
I think he needs to go again.
I know.
And if he doesn't, well, then his career will be at the crossroads.
Comparing a superstar of the competition. But Tom Hawkins isn't up the front of the running group. And he's a big, big rig.
Different type of player.
But there, he's...
Oh, similar.
Well, you're saying he's got a, you know, big, strong rig, and that's why he can't run that well. I compare him to that sort of body shape.
He's more of a leading type than... Oh, look, Hawkins is
can
a superstar.
Can he play that role where he plays play deeper?
I think he can.
One-on-one, geez, he's strong.
That's where I'll
I think he can play.
I reckon I'd be getting him to watch Tom Hawkins tapes, getting the ball. The ball coming in is a big thing, yeah. I know, as you mentioned, but...
Yeah, but Hawkins takes a lot of his marks. Not only is he strong, he is tall enough.
Yeah.
He'd be a lot taller than Fogg, surely.
Oh, inch or two, that's it.
That's all?
Not much. He's no more than 6'6", Tommy Hawkins, but But he's just a little bit heavier.
Forward rucks, throw some people out of the way, get involved that way. That's another way to get involved. Tom Hawkins, how many goals has he kicked
off being good enough, but at the moment he's on the edge. And
I'm sick of hearing he needs to get fitter. Mm. Like, that's a decision
Needs to get unfitter?
How many years do you say to a bloke you need to get fitter?
Is it him or is that just the easy thing for us to say?
I'm a big fan of his, but I'm just saying I can't believe that you're still, not you, but everyone's saying, another 20 or 30% fitter. When does the penny drop?
I put it this way. Either he needs to get fitter or he needs to work harder on the ground. Maybe he's fit enough and he doesn't work hard enough.
Okay.
I don't know what the answer is to that.
I want to ask you about a player that's intriguing to me, Tom Lynch. I think he is such a clever player. I love watching him play when he's out there. And yet the commentators over the weekend... I know it's only their opinion saying, he might not get a contract next year. Now, I know he's just been out injured. Jarz, he's not young anymore.
No.
He is a freakish type player. Mm. Surely he's still
a very good
playing.
Footballer.
Surely he's still playing next year and beyond.
Mm.
Is
he? Well, he came in and played well on the weekend. I think he had, 25, 20-odd touches,
a
goal.
He is so important.
And he's that real link up and he got busy around the footy. I don't know. There's a big decision around him.
His you best.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think he's in trouble.
Gee, all right.
It's footy. It's harsh, but
if all of those young blokes at the Crows improve, which they will again next year, I'd be having a Tom Lynch type around them, getting the ball for them and dishing it out.
You got to have a good mix of experience and youth. There's no doubt about that. You can't be too young. Got to have enough leaders.
Who's a replacement for Tom Lynch?
Phil Thorpe.
That role though, that link up high up the ground.
He can sort of run up.
I think
he
could, but he'd be your chop out ruckman moving forward, wouldn't he, Riley?
In time, I think he could be.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, there's some big decisions, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you can't have four
Matt
big boys
Crouch.
Down inside your forward 50.
Talia.
What's that, Jazz?
You can't have four big boys down in your forward 50.
No, you can't. Got to get that balance right. No speed on the ground.
No.
All right, speaking of which, let's focus on Port Adelaide now. It was a fantastic win. I heard Ken Hinckley's press conference after the game. Remember last week you were critical about the Alea situation?
Yep.
I heard Ken talk after the game and I felt for him a bit in that he said...
We've been more than happy to have two rucks in the team at times. We've clearly done some different things at times to give us the right balance. Look, to be fair, the balance of the talls in our side today wasn't probably right, but we didn't have too many options to go to in that space. So we decided that, you know, with the roof being on and the challenge of two rucks against our two rucks, we're confident that they'd be able to at least very much break even with the two boys that they played against. So, you know, it's not the everyday play for us, but we'll work with what we have to as the season keeps going.
And that's why...
That's not true.
Well, it is true.
Well, you rate on, hang rate on about seven Garner small forward, all the time.
Seven small forwards.
Yeah, you don't have to play five tall defenders if you got no small forwards.
No, he's
forwards.
Talking about up forward. He was talking about the forward line. And I don't think it is working, the Port Adelaide forward line. But he did say, we got. He said, who else are we going to pick? And he's right. They've got seven small forwards injured.
I was critical of Aaliyah playing in the ruck. What's that got to do with this?
Sometimes, because sometimes they're forced to make some selection choices. With the injury list they've got, they're being forced into certain things at the moment.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. They had to change around the forward line this week, but there's no reason why they had to play Aaliyah in the ruck.
No, no.
When you had Peter Laddams sitting in the twos. I was talking about Peter Laddams and Todd Marshall.
I know that. My point being, though, sometimes you've got to make some selection choices because of what you've got.
Marshall stayed in the side. We all thought he was going to go out last week. Holds his
spot.
Yes,
he did. Well, that's probably what you're talking about, that he played a game this week because of that, because they had no one else to bring in. He had to play more mobile.
Mm.
And again, I'm sorry to say, but he went to about three-quarter time without touching the ball again.
It's a worry.
Kenny must love him.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of man love there.
I mean,
I think touching the ball's overrated, though.
Yeah. It's what you do when you don't have the ball. It's important.
Good voice.
Whatever you do, don't touch that ball.
Defensive pressure. Yeah. No tackles.
I think Port, they're a chance to get it back together.
Mm. You reckon? After a win against St Kilda. They've been battling all year.
No, they haven't been battling. Have you seen their last few weeks?
Yeah, oh, they've been great the last couple of weeks.
Even the Crows beat them 4 weeks ago.
You know what, though? In Port's
that was their last win.
Yeah, in Port's defence, all those teams at the top of the ladder are flaky.
Hmm.
Like they all are. So Port's...
But Port haven't beaten
anyone. No less or more flaky. Yeah, I know, but they've all lost games they shouldn't have lost as well.
Yeah, that's true.
And none of them look convincing either.
Well, I thought it was a gutsy win.
Oh, I thought it was a great win. Because when St Kilda, well, I don't think they headed them. They hit the front by a point in the last quarter.
Yeah.
At least even I was going to say. I thought, no, here they go. Here go the Saints.
Huge win.
Great win.
Was it real? Lines for the Brownlow.
How good a form.
He's got one hand on it already.
I want to ask you, expert, something though about the Port forward line. Bearing in mind that Ken just said he had to play more tools than he wanted to, but even when you've got a couple of small forwards in there, I cannot believe you can't separate. Now, I know you've got an opposition, but they kick towards Charlie Dixon, who just about every time has either got two or three jumping against him. What is Marshall and or Georgiades doing in that situation? Why are they not sprinting out towards the flanks or somewhere else? And why do they all go up together as a big pack and think, well, one of us might mark it? What happened to the days of, I'll tell you what, I'll run out there, you run out there, Charlie will have two on him, et cetera, et cetera.
Are you saying that
I don't think they're smart.
Marshall and Georgiades' men are getting in the way of Dixon?
I think so. Now, Georgiades kicked four, but you know what? Only because he took some great marks and made something out of nothing. I don't know why, and it's a bit of old-fashioned footy, I know. They both should be leading real hard and getting out of the way. And if Charlie has got two or three on him, surely someone's free. There has to be someone free.
Yep. If they lead to the right spot, then their player will go with them. If they lead to a spot where they're not going to get used, that's when they drop off.
And it's all about pressure on the ball too, the ball carrier. If he's got time and space, you should be able to hit someone on a lead up. But if he's under pressure, you do go back to old habits and you go, well, I'll just bang it in long to Dixon. That's your bailout. But
Butters and Dersma back in this week. Are the Power a chance to be back or not?
Do you bring all three of them straight back in?
But in the modern game, don't you need a couple of weeks? Like, that'd be for players to get their legs back.
Dersma has played.
Do you bring them all back?
Dersma's had two.
In the SANFL.
I had a look at that game on the weekend. He was just a class above at that SANFL level. He was very good. He got about 30 touches too, I think, Dersma.
Yep.
So who are you not bringing in out of those three?
No, they should all come
in. All come back in.
But they will be short of a gallop, won't they?
That doesn't matter. They manage them well now.
Are you confident again or not?
Yep.
McKenzie, seriously.
If our players start coming back, we are going to time it beautifully to September.
And that's the key.
So you reckon it's all about the injuries?
It's the timing of it.
Well, seven.
Go through
the seven that are out of the side.
Hartlett,
Dersma, Butters, Rosie, Motlop, Farrell.
Robbie Gray. Does Robbie he get a Gray. Mention or not?
Yeah, no. All small forwards.
How far away is Robbie Gray?
Don't know. But they're handy players. If those seven were out of any other side, it's a big issue.
No, it's an issue. What about the Cleary decision? We haven't spoken about that.
I know.
Getting dropped last. That was a surprise to me. He came back for one game, wasn't it? After the,
he had one game, six weeks out
or whatever from that jaw, and then went straight out. But McKenzie again showed why they went with him.
He was amazing.
How good was he?
Is he contracted next year, McKenzie?
But he was so good last year, fifth in the best and fairest, and then he hasn't been able to get a game this year up until when Cleary went out. So, I mean, he's just proving again how important he is for this team going forward.
And his kick's good too.
Yeah, great kick, isn't
he? Yeah, yep, fantastic. All right, I want to talk about your boyfriend, Roo.
Yep.
Goody doesn't like the draw anymore. Doesn't like a draw in a game.
Oh, seriously.
Here's Simon Goodwin.
Obviously, a drawn game with no crowd. It was pretty flat sort of atmosphere. But, yeah, I like to see a result. You know, we play the game to win. You know, if you looked at the last centre bounce of the game, you know, we were setting up to try and win the game. And, you know, that's the way I like our team to think and how we want them to operate. And I think our supporters and fans would love that as well. It's about to see a result at the end of the day, I think. However that may take place, I think, you know, as a competition, we should look at it.
Once a World Cup penalty shootout.
There's no, which is, what a joke. What's wrong with, I don't understand what's wrong with a draw. There's no on-flowing impact. There's no impact of a draw.
I think it adds
like, doesn't
something.
Affect anything.
Adds a bit of excitement Grand to the finish.
In the finals, I get it. Right, you need a result so you can move on the next week.
It was good coming back for that second grand final, though.
Oh,
you've got to have a result.
No.
You've got to get rid of the draw.
Get rid of the draw in the final.
2 weeks of
what?
2 weeks
home
of
home and away in finals, chunkhead. You've got to get rid of the draw.
Chunkhead.
Get rid of the draw.
Yes. But what is it? You need a result.
Why?
Mate, it flattens everyone.
I don't mind.
Soaring goes. Players are flat. Supporters are flat. Everyone's flat,
but it happens three times a year, and then you end you end up with a bullshit result.
Have a shootout, best three kicks, 50 metre out, where you go.
I reckon it adds an element of excitement to the game.
No.
I reckon people would
community
be cheering.
Footy should be bringing it in.
You know, it's real flat after a draw. I reckon they'd be cheering a draw if there was a shootout.
But when you say flat after a draw, and Goody said there was no atmosphere, there's no crowd at the moment. When scores are level, it is the most exciting last 2 minutes of a game you'll ever see.
It's just a flattening result.
I'll
tell you what.
No, I don't mind it at all.
He said he was flat. He would have been flatter if there was a shootout and they lost to Hawthorn because they had Bruce or some good goal kickers kicking. So,
There's an argument there. 5 minutes each end?
Whatever. No. Come up with something.
I like the shootout. I don't give a stuff.
They get 2 points each.
Get your best kicks. That'll teach them to kick straight.
They've lost the 15th, 16th, or drawn to 15th, lost to 16th and 17th.
Drawn to
17th. 17th, yeah.
And in the, you're a soccer fan, Dits. Mm-hmm. What, just in the Premier League or wherever, which choose your soccer competition around the world, they have a draw, they just move on. Just get 1 point.
I have 0-0.
Who cares? 0-0, whatever. Just get on with it. How many draws this year? Have there been 3 or 2?
North America, North and GWS.
And there's about, two, three every year? Who cares?
Right, let's have a quick poll. Stick with draws?
Yeah, it's stick with draws.
I agree, there's 2 votes. Jars?
I want a shootout. 2-1.
I'm going to shoot out.
2-2.
I don't know what I want.
It's a draw.
I'm just going to flick my switch here on my noise cancelling. I don't want to hear that.
Hey. Come on, just say something.
Say it, Roo. Hey, he's implied by his absence that he likes a draw.
Now, best game-saving moments from you fellas, moving on.
Yeah.
We've just been talking about draws, but how do you save a game? Lockleys versus Colonelite Gardens. You've all seen the vision and
fantastic.
The story.
Fantastic.
The bloke.
Amazing.
They were 3 points down after the siren. He's in the goal square. Bang, kicks it into the bloke's nose. Limo, in your best and fairest years at West Adelaide, anything that you did, you know, heroic or anything you saw that saved the game or lost the game?
I can't say that I ever saved a game quite like that. But to do it with his face.
Brilliant,
nose.
With his nose. But I love, if you look at the vision, he actually got a bit of elevation. Yeah. Like his vertical leap is strong.
Yeah. It didn't help the bloke was kicked at 3 metres from the guy.
And the bloke's got a big snout.
He's going then straight into the broken nose. And then the team around him for the celebrations. He said, we spoke to him earlier this week. He said the joy of the win did overshadow the pain of the broken nose. For a brief period of time.
You know he kicked the winning goal to put him in front as
A
minute before that. Huge cheers. Greg Blewett was playing golf at Cooyonga, which is just across the road from the Lockleys over here. Massive cheer, then a massive cheer and a siren. He's thinking, what the hell's going on over there?
Bluey thought it was for the putty hill.
Yeah, well,
no, he would have got the mug at the clubhouse.
Oh, yeah. Mate, we kicked the winning goal. I think a couple of minutes to go, there was a snap.
Good effort.
They played on the news. He kicked the winning goal. He's the real hero. Oh, and then he
how could you miss
it with
a goal
nuffies?
From the top of the goal square?
Well, he's run up, Bluey. It was just...
How could you, Joe?
In anything's game, game too.
In a big game, was, you know what? That was top v second too. Candlelight Guns at top, and Lockleys would have gone to second if they won.
Yeah.
Big, big game massive from the goal
square. You know,
square.
Someone that's really skillful. You know,
good kick,
dead eye dick.
Yeah.
Anything spring to mind, Jas?
Nothing. Nothing Crickets. I can think of.
Don't
93.
Oh no.
Well, Andrew Jarman, you'd really expect him to kick this. A shocking kick. Oh, no. You wouldn't believe it, Bruce, would you? One of the most efficient players in the competition, and he misses from 15 metres.
Hard to understand, isn't it? Hard to understand. Finals pressure, that's about all you could put it down to, Robbo. He'd get out there on Tuesday night, and he wouldn't miss one from that area of the ground.
Imagine what Cornsey would have been if he was a premiership coach. Oh, you know, he would have been.
Okay,
he would never have paid for
you. You would have probably won the Norm Smith in the grand final.
I don't want to.
I know. Because you were best on ground every game you played.
Don't go there. I wasn't.
Norm Smith, they would have spoken about you differently.
Right now, Jars, have you got any other, except from the goal that you missed from the goal square, have you got any other game saving?
Yeah, well, I did ditch. So we were 3 points down, and I was. In our forward line, and I
is
laid.
Is this in the gays of B grade?
No, this is North Adelaide back in the day. I laid four smothers in a row.
Four?
In the mud, and it was against West Torrens at Prozzy. So I laid smother.
On that crooked oval at Prospect.
It was about 10 seconds to go, and we were 3 points down, and we're kicking to the southern end, and I socketed it off the ground on my left foot.
You're joking.
Yeah, as I was about to fall over.
Oh, no.
Roll. Oh, yeah.
Have they straightened that over like this?
And the siren went. Oh,
and then
mate,
you woke up.
I was mobbed.
Is that mobbed when your fans come out again? Yeah.
So that's what I did, Dits.
Yeah, nah, great. I changed the game once on the squash court. I bit the ball in half. I was so stuffed.
Shahid Afridi bit the cricket ball.
No, I had to.
It's always been a bog.
I was in Pakistan. It was 46 degrees. I was breathing through my arse and my ears. I was that starved of oxygen. But right, I need a rest here, so I bit the ball in half. And so you have to warm up a new ball. So I've got to get a couple of minutes to have a rest.
How long does it take you to warm up a ball, Dits?
Oh, I hit it really softly and slowly, don't worry. About 3 minutes.
That's why they call Dits the Aussie Osborne of the squash world. My claim to fame is that...
Yeah. No, we didn't ask you.
You've reminded me going down to the York Peninsula.
Yes.
Is in grand final 1991.
Edithburg.
Yorktown, Edithburg, when I was played an undefeated Edithburg team.
Were you a paid player?
Mate,
no yes. way.
We head under
no
the
way.
He was the marquee player
for Edithburg in a superstar team that had a good.
Who was playing there?
Jamie Tape was out.
Jamie Tape.
Yeah. He was 16. He won the
Mark Tape
the medal. Oh, Mark Tape. Yeah. Jamie Tape. There was about four tapes in the team.
Most of them were tapes.
But we won the flag that year. But in the grand final, I was getting a roasting off of the bench. From the Yorktown bench, the coaching. So I ran over it, past the bench.
Oh, no.
Hoiked up my shorts and my jocks and just gave them a little faceful. The problem was I'd forgotten that the stand was right behind.
Probably forgot that it was a cold day.
Look at this big showboat from Adelaide. Coming over here. Taking their money.
Getting that little thing out.
Showing his nuts.
I tell you what, I had a dominant year at centre-half forward for Yorktown.
Centre half forward.
Yes, Edithburg.
Edithburg.
He doesn't even know who he plays for.
Jeez, it must have meant a lot to you.
That'll get back.
Did you win the medal? He won't be happy with that.
Did you win the medal over there?
Did you win the medal? Nah, it was Jamie Tape won the medal. Yeah, I think he just pipped me.
Second?
Second. How would you describe yourself as a player back in the day?
There's no nonsense, Jas.
No nonsense.
Got the bloody job done. The coach never had to worry about me.
Probably shared with his job.
Like a Wayne Carey type center.
That's a good. That is an excellent comparison.
Or, get out.
Or more a
sort of a Wayne Carey. Imagine Wayne Carey mixed with Lee Matthews. Imagine that sort of.
Bit of Dusty Musk, big game player too.
I was told more like Jack Watts.
Hey, that's an extreme
animal. He wrong. Save that for after hours.
Well done.
Now, before we go, big milestone this week. Travis Spokes 300.
Oh, yeah.
I want to go around the panel. Where does he rate in Port Adelaide's history? Let's talk AFL history. Where does he rate?
Oh, he'd have to be in your top three, wouldn't he?
Wiz,
probably. Wanganeen. Treadray.
I'm going Treadray, Gray, Boak.
Gray.
Treadray, Gray. You haven't got Wangers in the top three.
Ooh. You're kidding.
Wow. Wangers is number one.
Wow, he only played 100 games, didn't he?
I reckon, I agree with you. Bokey's in there, top three or four.
Top three?
Being a superstar.
He's kicked late.
Wanganeen, four.
He's kicked late, which has made him go to another level, hasn't he? Yeah. His last few years.
Is he on something?
And talks like he still wants to play another couple of years yet. So.
How can you do that?
He wants to play to his 40s.
I know he does. So do I, but you can't.
I'm not even 40
yet.
Sorry,
just got Gavin on the line. Sorry, you want Bernie? Yeah, I'll just put him on.
You're fourth, Gavin, in my list.
How many All Australians?
Gav's in the middle of Survivor at the moment.
How many best and fairest did Wanganeen win at Port?
How many All Australians?
How many All Australians?
Can I just ask you something about your best and fairest theory?
Oh, don't give us the cane corns.
No, I'm not. All right, hang on.
Yeah, how's Port Adelaide do this?
So Wanga's played with Chad Corns. Oh, just these aren't in order.
Treadray.
Yeah.
Lade.
Yeah.
Franco.
Yeah. Burgoyne.
Thank you. Two Burgoynes.
Yeah.
Roger James.
Yeah.
Star, and the list goes on.
Yeah.
That's what you're up against every week, trying to get a vote to win the best and fairest.
Keep going.
And that's only just who I can think of now without even doing a list on it.
Yeah.
Travis Boak hasn't got that list up against him, has he?
Nah, not the quality you've just mentioned.
Mm. So therefore, you got to take those things into account sometimes when you go, Gab didn't, win many, won one.
But they've been a pretty good side the last few years. So you go team wise, they're a good team, and best and fairest aren't rated on like superstars. That can be rated on your role and. Defenders get more votes in best and fairest. I know you're saying those players you mentioned, the stars of the, they'll be in the team of the century greatest probably ever, for those teams. But he's got Robbie Gray on the side. He's had him in there. He started when Treadrow was still playing.
And he's fourth behind the other three for me.
Boak, four. Yeah, I got him three.
No disrespect.
Congratulations. Could have gone home on many occasions.
Well, that was the greatest thing.
Lost his father.
The Geelong story was magnificent.
One of the great blokes of football.
His loyalty. I thought he was gone. Yeah, absolutely gone. That year that they caught up with him.
The backstory, Bernie, of course, is he'd lost his dad. Yep. He's got mum and sister living back there. You'd think he's got to go home, not just for Geelong, but for the whole family situation, whatever. And he stayed loyal to Port Adelaide. It's an amazing thing.
Brilliant. Great story.
Yeah. A bit sad he can't have a crowd at the 300th.
Yeah.
Well, same as Riewoldt on the weekend, didn't get to play in front of his home crowd. I know there's a few people there, but no one from Melbourne allowed
Why
to go
Why wouldn't
up.
The AFL bring forward the bye? Just have a bye.
Well, we're in lockdown now.
Seven
so,
days.
So what does that mean about this weekend's games?
God, there'll be no games.
Do we play? Well, Melbourne have been in lockdown. There's two games there on the weekend. Three games.
Two teams can't fly out now.
Well, there's three games in Melbourne in lockdown on the weekend.
I reckon they'll work out a way to bubble them.
They're going
to
get
somewhere.
They're going to get the season done somehow. I don't know how, but the AFL
just do paper rock scissors for the 4 points.
Oh yeah, geez, it'd be important.
Penalty shootout.
You can do it live on the camera. Yes. They do it from Melbourne, and we can do it from here.
Hey, I've got a quick one for you.
Yeah.
It's cricket, but I think you'll like it. Do we enjoy it when players talk about themselves in the third person?
Not really. George Costanza type setup.
No. What about West?
I don't mind it.
What about West Indian superstar Chris Gayle?
Is he
allowed to talk about himself in the third person? This is post-match after West Indies played Australia in a T20 game. And I also have to point out, he refers to himself as the universe boss. If you didn't know.
Universal boss,
That's what he calls himself, right?
Well, for fun or is he fair dinkum?
Nah, I think he's fair dinkum. I think he's fair dinkum.
He's serious.
Have a listen to Chris Gayle.
When I got back into the West Indies team against Sri Lanka, I was trying to, play a different role rather than, play Chris Gayle himself. So I was more like on the team side. I'm a more team person. Don't mind the numbers, Chris Gayle not getting the runs, soon to be 42. You guys should be happy to see Chris Gayle on the field still. And, just hopefully Chris will last as long as possible and just cherish those moments. Commentators, don't put up no stats about Chris Gayle, don't score in a half century. Just respect the universe boss and let him play in cricket and have some fun. And just enjoy the moment with Chris Gayle, with a strong West Indies team.
Love it.
Weed.
Weed.
How good's that?
A little Rastafarian.
I reckon he's rolled a big number before that.
He's very fancy.
I've just redone my list. Wanganeen's in the top three now.
Oh, what?
Well done.
He's just jumped in front of Boakey. I've had to think about it. I've had to think about it.
What changed your mind?
Yeah, and you apologised to Bacon.
I apologised.
He watched Survivor last night.
Yeah. And if Wanganeen goes out first, I'm going to flip him back again. But I have to agree now. I looked at a few stats.
Stay safe in the lockdown too. Look after each other.
Love yourself.
Yep. Okay. You haven't had any parties around at yours, Jazz, illegally?
No.
Okay, we'll see you. What time?
I'll get some beer now.
And some toilet paper.
Enjoy the footy. See you next week on The Bump.